I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Neon Gods by Katie Robert. Are you ready? I love me some Greek mythology, so this book was right up my alley.
Me too. Like, I was that kid who used to take out the mythology books in my school library. I loved them all. I now realize, like, as an adult rereading some of that mythology, I'm like, you know, I think that might have been my early introduction to smut.
Maybe. I mean, it's been
because
a lot
of stuff happens in those myths.
Yeah. I mean, I think we chatted a little bit about this. I feel like the Greek mythology I was introduced to in whatever grade it was a very much, what's the word I'm looking for?
Came down.
G-rated. G-rated mythology. There you go. I didn't get like the real stuff. But I did love it back then. So, you know.
Too. I love the stories. Like, I still have several. Like, look, I brought some of my little references.
Look at you. I love it.
I mean, you know, one of my son's name is Griffin.
Right?
Okay. So partly for mythology. And then also, like, we went to Greece for our honeymoon, like, 20 years ago this fall. And we spent almost a month there. And part of that reason was because I loved, well, I mean, honestly, part of it was for the food. But also part of it was like, I love the mythology and I wanted to see the places and everything that I, you know, read about for my whole life. So
yeah,
I'm certainly a fan.
Yeah, this was like a real treat. And I don't even remember what made us get this book. Remember, we were chatting and I was like, oh, I feel like I heard this one was good. I think we were like literally chatting on our last, like afterwards, after we signed off.
Yeah, like right? After the show.
Yeah, like after hours. And I was like, wait, I feel like I keep hearing about this one. And like, you know, Persephone and Hades. And I was like, all right, I'll get it. And then you also got it.
I got it. Yeah, just happened to work out. I like was looking at what was available and I was like, oh yeah, I wanted to read this one. And then we ended up both reading it at the same time without pre-planning it. So it worked out well. I feel like it's been all over TikTok for a while. Like, what year did this one come out? Can you see in
let me look in my...
Is it 2021 maybe?
Yeah, 2021. Okay, so it's fairly newer.
So yeah, I feel like I've seen it for a while, but I just didn't really know much about it. And as we know, our TBRs are always overflowing. But I think we've had several of our listeners and followers on Instagram suggest this book to us.
Yeah, so. I think so too. And it's a dark romance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And it's essentially, it's the Dark Olympus series, which is exciting because I just
added. This is book one.
Yeah, I just added book two to my card.
Yeah, I've got the first, the next three. So I didn't go beyond this one before this chat, but I have the next two books and the fourth book, which just came out, I think on the 7th.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I have that one as an audio.
Add that to my TBR.
I listened actually to the audiobook of this first one and it cracked me up because I can't remember the name of the female narrator, but you know, the beginning where they're like, welcome to the audiobook and narrated by blah, blah, blah. The dude's name is Alex Moorcock.
Wow.
It's like you have to be a romance narrator.
Yeah,
with a name
I know.
Like Moorcock.
And it has to be specifically this, you know, the smut books.
Yeah. He's very dramatic.
Of a
narrator. Yeah. I actually heard I was on Katie Roberts' TikTok and she was saying that on Spotify, you can get this whole book. I don't know if it's just this one or more of them, but that it's legit. Like they have a deal with her publisher and you can listen to the audiobook on Spotify.
That's really cool. Huh,
yeah.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. Okay. Book one. I'm looking to see if maybe there's like, I love that it's by smutty scholars. That's what it says on here. Oh, wait, but Neon Gods.
Oh, that would be a good podcast name.
Playlist.
Smutty Scholars.
I don't know if this is. Oh, no. That's not. I think that might be like a. Maybe that's.
That could also be out of date info. I'm not sure because, again, the book's not brand new, but at one point, I guess it was on Spotify if it's not now. Very check cool. it out. See if you can get it. And it's sort of, you know, I've heard them people say about a million times, it's a Hades and Persephone retelling, which I think it is, but I would call it
loosely. Sort
of more loosely. Yeah. Inspired by.
Yeah. Yes. I think inspired by, because again, right. It's not really like it's pretty cool. And we're going to talk about it too. Like how the story is a little different, but still uses parts of the myth. Right. So it's right. Like, and I remember texting you and being like, I really love reading books where who we know as the villain in like everyday life, right? These like, whether it's like a fairy tale or whatever it might be, the villain that we know ends up not actually being the villain in the book. And it ends up being like the other guy who we thought. So in this case, Zeus, right? Like we always learn that Zeus is like, oh, you know, and Hades is, and it's the actually guy. It's opposite. The, yeah. Which book. I was like, ooh, I love this. Hades is kind of like, you know, he just has a bad rap, but he's actually like way better than Zeus. Zeus is a dick. You know? So I do love books like that. So as soon as it started like getting into it, I was like, ooh, okay, this is fun.
That does not surprise me that you like books like that, because hello, ACOTAR.
Right. I know.
It's like the guy like from
in first. I was like,
right. Like in the first one, it's like you've got the golden, beautiful spring court Tamlin and then this dark, underworldy, despicable guy. And how does that end up getting flipped on its head? Right.
Oh, you know what? I'm sensing a pattern.
Yep. This might be to add this to your small town, second chance romance, childhood friends to lovers list of favorite tropes.
Exactly.
Speaking of tropes, Katie Robert is great. So this, like we said, this is kind of like a dark romance.
Yeah.
And so with any books like this, you know, some authors will put content warnings in the beginning of their book. Some don't. But Katie actually has for all of her books on her website. You can look at each book and she has a list of the tropes, the tags, and the content warnings. So like when I look at this book, the trope says fake relationship. The tag says hurt/comfort, alpha hero on the outside, cinnamon roll on the inside, fake relationship, real sex, exhibitionism. You can't properly care for yourself, so I'm going to take care of you. Hades is a consent king, grumpy and sunshine, BDSM, safe word. And then in the content warnings, it has abuse, parental death, historical and off page, assault and attempted assault, explicit sex, guns and blood. So it's like it's really lays it out there. And she has that for all of her books. And I just think that's great.
I do. I like that a lot. And it's spot on.
Yeah.
So, right. I didn't realize that. So that's really that's good to know.
Before we get further into this, can I show you what I got to drink? I
was teasing you with this you before. You said.
Okay. So here in BC, where I live in the west coast of Canada, just up the coast, so going up the coast north from Vancouver, there's a place called the Sunshine Coast, and it's accessible by ferry only. And there's a town there called Gibson's. And Gibson's has a brewery called Persephone.
Oh, how fun!
Isn't that cool?
That's so fitting.
It's the Persephone Brewing Company, and it's actually attached to a farmer's market. And so, like, even on the can, it says beer, farm fresh. And then it says, like, their farm moonlights at a farmer's market. Any of the food grown on site is served on site. You can buy shares of their farm's harvest with their beer farm food box program.
Okay.
Like how very Persephone Demeter's daughter is
very
that
much
whole
so.
Concept, right?
Yes, I love that.
So that I just have their pale ale today. But I just thought that was, there was no way as soon as I realized we were doing this book, I'm like, I got to pick up some Persephone.
That is so fun. I love that.
Very I'm actually going to have gyros for dinner when we're done recording here, too. So there was one point where the Hades takes Persephone for gyros. She's like, take me to your favorite place in the lower city, and they go eat those. And I was like, dang, I love a gyro.
Yeah. See, so we don't call
that's
them
what I'm
here,
having for dinner. What do you call them?
It's like a sandwich, right?
But it's like in a pita wrap.
In a pita wrap. Okay.
Usually.
Still, we'd call it
and
a
it's
wrap.
Like, you know, the shaved, we would call it a wrap. Okay.
A wrap. Yeah.
Yeah. Gyro. And though I make them the way we had them in Greece, which was like, so you've got like your pita, then you've got tzatziki, you've got whatever meat, feta cheese, of course, and then fries.
Ooh,
you put fries inside the wrap.
I love me some fries. I love potatoes of any kind, but I
agreed
like a weak spot for me. That sounds really good.
So yeah, That's what I'm looking forward to after this.
Yummy. With fries?
With fries.
Oh, you're making your own.
I'm making. Yeah.
Look at that.
So I was making all the side dishes and I made the tzatziki from scratch, everything before we jumped on here. And then I'm going to go eat them afterwards.
Very. Send me a picture.
I will.
All right. Should we dive in?
Yeah. Me too. And what I liked about it too is like it's, you know how we talked about the difference between like, you know, some of the books we read are not going to be like, they're not Jane Austen, right? Mm-hmm. But they're wonderful and they fit in this wonderful place. Like, you know, our Megan Quinns that are our wonderful palate cleansers. I feel like that's what this Katie Robert was. It was like, it was fairly quick to read. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun reading it. It like, I had a good time.
Yeah.
There is a plot. It's not just smut.
Right.
The plot isn't very intricate. It isn't too in depth. There isn't like a whole world we had to build. So I feel like it was very like a snack. Like it was just like served to me so easily and was so easy to take it down. That sounds a bit dirty. but you know what I mean, right?
Yes, I do. I do know exactly what you mean. I felt the same. It was easy to follow. It was just fun seeing the names of those we've learned about in Greek mythology. And I was actually like Googling because I'd forgotten quite a bit, you know, but I was like Googling in the process. I'm like, oh, this is so fun. Oh my God. Like the safe word, for example.
Yes.
Pomegranate.
So I had forgotten this. You reminded me.
I forgot it too. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, look at Katie Roberts being so smart. I was like, that was just like such a, you know,
so to say it in case anybody doesn't remember.
Yeah. Let me pull it back up just so I don't, I had it saved here just so I don't mess it up. Okay. So the story of the pomegranate seeds is that is essentially how Hades, right? That's how he kind of,
it's sort of the means of how she,
yes. So she knew if she ate or drank anything in the underworld, she'd have to stay there forever. Right. And so Hades had begged her, she didn't. And then Demeter, hold on. Oh, okay. He offered Persephone when Demeter went to go, or when Hades went to go take Persephone back, he offered Persephone one last thing to eat, which was a ripe blood red pomegranate. She took 6 seeds and ate them, which is also, well, the 6 comes in somewhere too. Did you notice that part at the end of the book?
I didn't. I can't wait.
Okay. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I went and like down a Google rabbit hole.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now I know. I know the deal that she made with her mom.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah. So then they went back above ground, Persephone. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Reunited with Demeter. The earth again grew rich. Okay. And then because, and this is from a website. We'll include this link in the show notes because they did a really nice job summarizing it. But because Persephone had eaten 6 pomegranate seeds, it was decided that for 6 months of each year, she must return to the underworld with Hades and winter would come to the world. And that ties into the 6 public appearances that Hades had promised to make in order to kind of like smooth things back over. So I was like, look at that. Huh. I totally forgot about all that. So that's what I mean. I was having fun kind of like relearning this myth because it had been so long since I've actually read about it. And it was just
like decades probably.
Yes. Yeah. Literally like in school. And so it was just fun to see the comparisons and how she used things like that. So again, the safe word being pomegranate, I was like, oh
yeah. Which she never ends up using because she is never completely on board with everything. It. And like Katie says, Hades is a consent king. Like how many more times could he ask her, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? Would you want to stop? You stop. And like, they don't even get really that. Like, I feel like the smut, like, there was a good amount of it.
Oh,
but
yes.
Some of it was more talk than action, like, more bark than bite. You know, like, because they, you know, the stuff that they ended up doing in, like, the public arena was fairly tame. They didn't, you know, use, the first time they went in there was, like, all these devices and there was all this talk.
I pictured, like, a red room, like, in 50 Shades.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
A red room with, like, an audience.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But they ended up having quite tame interactions there, right? They were just, and like sort of in the shadows too. So not super on display. So yeah, that was kind of nice because it was just, and it was there, like the first time they went in there was a different couple on the dais, you know, and there was bondage happening there, that kind of thing. But yeah, it was sort of a gentle interactions from
And then even when she was like, I want to do this publicly, She ends up deciding she actually doesn't want to. Right. And then he gets mad. Right. He ends up being like, no, I actually don't want to have this moment with you here. Like I.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then they leave.
Because he can sense she's sort of like trying to make herself be brave to do it. And she's like, no, because like what? It isn't just doing it for me.
Yeah.
It's you loving doing it. That's what does it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, I feel like in all the smutty books we've read, there is literally nothing hotter than a man who's like, I need you to tell me you want this. Do you know what I'm saying? Like literally like saying, I need to hear you. I mean, I think it's just super sexy, but also really sexy on a consent, you know?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? So,
and it shows that it can be sexy. Like you can totally do consent and have it be hot. And like in this one, you know, even the first time that they have like P and V sex, she's like condom right at the end. And he grabs grabs one down. And then when they decide to get rid of condoms, they have that discussion. Like you can have that stuff in like a book that is very spicy.
Absolutely.
I think it doesn't take away from it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like it adds to the whole experience. And also like, it just made you love Hades more. Cause you're like, you are so respectful. Like, it, and just, it's just hot to have him be like, tell me this is what you want. Okay.
I mean, he is not like the picture that you think of when you think of Hades and like the Lord of the Underworld, the, you know, he's just like a really sweet guy, actually.
Especially
he's sort of
when
playing a part.
Yes. Well, that's essentially right. He says that. That's like his role, which also reminded me, if we're going to talk similarities, everything comes back to ACOTAR and Outlander. It really does. But that's like Rhys at the Court of Nightmares, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So that was kind of like what I was picturing. He had to kind of put on this face like when they were in that room, like in front of an audience. But then you get the Hades who's at the market with her and she's realizing all the like that he genuinely cares about his people, whereas Zeus didn't give a shit, you know,
or likes to hang out in the greenhouse or, you know, had to get three puppies because he didn't want the one puppy to be lonely.
I know. Oh, that's what I meant to look up, though. Their names. Was that
Oh, yeah. It's so, you know, in like mythology, it's Cerberus is the three headed dog that guards the entrance to the underworld.
Yes. Okay.
So he names the first one Cerberus.
Right.
But then the other two, the names are quite a mouthful, but they are both sea monsters. They're sea monsters that are like sort of across from each other, or there's like a sea in between. And so their names in mythology are actually used to describe sort of like between a rock and a hard place. It's like, do I go to this one or this one? That's what their names are.
Interesting, which is kind of what they were, you know, like, I see that.
I thought that was so sweet.
Puppies. I know. I love that. I mean, hello. Who doesn't love, you know, it's like immediately you're like, okay, you're just like
he's
a big giant marshmallow.
Scary guy, but he's like cuddling with puppies. Exactly. Come on.
I know. He like couldn't say no to three.
Like, yes. Loved it. And is, you know, well, so let's get right into that. Like the differences. So how they flipped it. So scary Hades is not scary. He's playing a role. Well, as they all are really. Because they're not actually gods. They're just
people. They're not actually gods, but they are essentially in like the public, they're public figures.
Public figures for sure.
Right.
I saw one TikToker and I saved the video so I can post this and post a link to it because she described it perfectly. She said that it's a gossip girl is really what they're, what their society is. And that's what it seems like to me. It's like very high society, socialites. Yeah. They're all kind of competing and it's all about being seen and your reputation and that kind of thing. And they're all playing roles. So that seemed really accurate to me.
Yeah,
you know, like it's, they're sort of the only thing like this, even though it's a, you know, mythological retelling, it's not magical. Like this is not a fantasy except for one thing. The one thing, because they talk about how it's hard to leave Olympus and that you actually would get like, you know, massive headache if you try and you can't even just cross the river Styx into like from the upper city to the lower city is like very difficult, physically difficult. So it seems like there's something happening there. There's some kind of magical barrier.
Yes.
But beyond that, so they're sort of in this city, which has removed itself from the rest of the world. But it does seem like it's our world. Because they talk about like
cars, like
all the same stuff, but then also like refer to things like they refer to Persephone calls Zeus a modern day Bluebeard, which is like an old French mm-hmm. tale about like a guy who kills his wives and gets new wives. And then they talk about that she comes out in dressed once, and it's, she's like, do you have a Star Wars fetish? And then he yes. says that the dress does look like Princess Leia's dress, which also is a lot like Feyre's dress.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When they're in the Court of Nightmares, it's like that gauzy bikini with the flap of yes. fabric down the front and back, like very mm-hmm. similar.
Yeah.
So it does seem like it's our world, because like, very hello, Star so. Wars.
And I think, you know, they also talk about like the tabloids, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
being stalked by the tabloids and all that stuff. It's very right. like they're like, you know, the
almost like paparazzi.
Upper, yeah. What are they in Gossip Girl? Upper East Side or Upper West Side?
I actually never watched Gossip
Girl. That's okay.
Never did.
But I did. I watched it all and I loved it.
Everyone loves it. I just never did. Maybe.
Well, it's sort of like this. So maybe watch the first couple episodes and you'll see. I think it's the first episode where we have Serena and Nate banging on a bar.
Oh, maybe someday I'll watch it. I know, I feel like everyone's like, you haven't seen Gossip Girl? I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
I mean, I did feel like it was a bit longer than it needed to be, and there were some characters and episodes I didn't care that much about, but yeah, I watched the entire thing and was very happy at the end. One of those series that like wraps up like how you want it to, you know.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. But that that's what it feels to me. Oh, yes, that's another one.
I never saw that either. Anyway, but I could see that. Tabloids, socialites.
Right. Yeah. So then we don't have to build a fantasy world here or anything. Right. So that's easier to jump into. But if we were to look at the myth would be that like Zeus's domain is, you know, the face of the earth, mm-hmm. sunny flowers, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And then Hades' dominion, underworld, is like dark and cold and blech. Mm-hmm. But then when we compare the two cities here, they're actually flipped. Like Persephone describes the upper city as being all skyscrapers to the point that mm-hmm. like they block out the sun.
Yes.
And then the lower city is very like, it seems like actually like a cool, nice neighborhood to live in. It's like clean. Yes. There's like, it's like neighborhood stores.
Yeah.
His house is like a Victorian style home. Mm-hmm. The buildings are all like 3 to 4 stories, and like she says, they feel like they've been there a long time. You know, it's not all bright and shiny.
More like home than
yes,
more like not less of a city,
right?
More of a
city that she's been wanting to escape for essentially her whole life. As soon as she gets old enough to get a trust fund money,
and that and that is the flip. There is that Hades does not
kidnap her,
right?
No, in fact, he tries to send her back.
Yes.
Like, you should go back.
Yeah. He shouldn't be here.
Yeah. But she goes there like out of desperation because she's being forced into this marriage with Zeus that she doesn't want, that her mother arranged for her. Although, do you notice at the point where they announced that or he publicly proposed to her, mm-hmm. I felt like I had the vibe that he being Zeus kind of expected that she knew about it already. He was just like, I've been trying to talk to you and it's time for the announcement. And then when her mom is like, she's like, the announcement. She's like making eyes at her. Mm-hmm. Like, go along with this. But he seemed like he knew. He thought she knew about it. That's sort of the feeling I got.
Yeah, I did feel like that a little bit, whereas she definitely felt blindsided.
Oh, yeah. Like her mom did not tell her on purpose because she knows she wouldn't have.
Right. And then
along with it.
And then later on, we realize why she did that. But again, I still feel like some explanation should have been had. I mean, I guess the story happened for a reason, but I would also be pissed off at my mother for being like, you didn't mm-hmm. want to tell me, fill me in on, you know, your little plan here. You know what I mean?
You didn't think I might be alarmed that this guy is rumored to have killed his last three wives?
Exactly. Like, what the hell? So yeah. I mean, all's well that ends well, but still, yes. I like towards the end, I was like, wow, that you could have just saved a lot of that, you know. Again, that's how the story is written, but it's like things could have been so different if you just were honest about it.
Totally. So,
she's really conniving, that Demeter.
That Demeter, she sure mm-hmm. is. And they say like she's super ambitious, but that she does actually love her daughters. But it sure feels like that's in question for the first part of the book.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even still, because I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Again, it was Persephone's choice to stay. So
it was, which is a nice flip from
she could have gone back at any time.
Myth.
And she did not want to go back.
No.
And they really did. There was one part in the book where she's talking about her feelings for him, or like how she's kind of feeling. And I think it had only been like 3 weeks. And I think it, like, I thought more time had passed, like at that one part.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, we still have 2 months to go. I was like, oh, wow. That all happened like very quick. But yeah. I mean, I feel like Hades is probably easy to fall in love with. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it sure seems like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And especially when you're like, was exactly what she needed, right? So she's trying to escape this upper world already. She wants to leave as soon as she can. And then suddenly she's thrown into this engagement that she doesn't want and feeling extra pressure. She basically starts having a panic attack the night that she flees. I like, there's this one quote from that first night at the party. Everyone is dressed to the nines, a rainbow of design gowns and tuxes, flashes of horribly expensive jewels and finery. They create a sickening kaleidoscope as people move through the crowd, mingling and networking and dripping beautiful poison from painted red lips. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a funhouse mirror. Nothing in the reflection is quite what it seems for all its supposed beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the upper city is just like fake. It's all fake. It's all about image, you know? And so when she leaves, she's escaping that, but she runs literally into the arms of a guy who gives her exactly what, like, complete flip side of that.
Yeah. Yes. Complete flip side, and also brings out a side of her that I think she felt like she had to hide up in because she needed to put on that image. And we get that a few times, right? Like her sunny smile, you know, and then she like doesn't have that smile, you know, and he could tell when she's has the fake smile on, you know, she kind of goes back and forth with that. But again, she feels like she doesn't need to be that person with him.
Right. Right. Which must be a huge relief. I think even when she's describing her relationship among her sisters, she's one of four sisters, she describes what each of them are like. And then he's like, well, what about you? And she's like, well, someone has to just keep the peace.
Right.
You know? And we learn that she's sort of like, in terms of denying herself, she's also like relationship wise, sort of paints the picture of this, like, you know, virginal goody goody girl.
That's what he thought.
She was whereas a virgin. Whereas her like true desires are just, she's been suppressing them.
Yeah. She said she had one relationship, right?
With a girl, woman.
With a woman. Yes. Yeah. That. She said something along the lines of the last time she started to have feelings kind of like this was with the one woman that she was with. But I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I got the vibe that even that wasn't really like on display. Right. Like, I think.
No, I don't think it was. Yeah. I think it was hidden. And I think she had other like hookups.
Yes. Yeah.
That was just the biggest sort of relationship, I guess.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think. Yeah. I think he just brings that. He brings a side of her out. And also. Yeah. And also sexually. Right. Because she was like, oh, OK, I kind of like this. I kind of like that.
100%.
Yeah, kind of like
she has to think to herself, like, do I want this? Do I like? Yes, I do. Does this turn me on? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And he's, and you know, I think though she probably, because she's had to hide all of that and she didn't exactly have anyone who was, I guess, basically bringing that out or even just allowing her that, right, to explore herself and what she likes. You know, I just imagine that she can't really do much of any of that. Being in the upper city where you have to you know, your alter ego self. Do you know what I mean?
Fit into your role.
Exactly. Right.
I love how he calls her little siren.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And it's, you know, again, a flip because so in the real story, he kidnaps and rapes her, right? The real story, the myth.
Yes.
But in this, it's like, it's all actually her, like, pushing him every step of the way. Like, when can we do this? When can we do this? I'm ready for this. Don't hold back. Like, it's her initiating the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Hades being, he's just, like, super protective, but not in, like, kind of overprotective, but not in, like, you know, still validating her wishes and whatever. That's exactly what she needed, right? So she needs to feel safe. She needs to feel protected, but also be given the like freedom to express herself how she wants. And I really liked that because the three, but we don't really hear much about Poseidon here, but the titles of Zeus and Hades are legacy titles. So they're handed down through the family. So the Zeus that we meet in this story, he's like in his 60s. He's an older dude, right? She's 20, she's 24. So like, yuck. Yeah. But Hades is actually only like in his early 30s.
Right.
So like, I liked that he's sort of like, you know, you could say like sex mentor sort of kind of like, it has that kind of feel about it when it starts, but they're actually quite like, you know, similar ages. It's not like it doesn't have that older guy, young, innocent girl dynamic at all.
Right. And Hades and Zeus have some major beef because Zeus killed Hades' family. And he was essentially, I don't want to say crowned, but, you know, Hades at a very young age, right? He took that role
because his father died.
Yeah. So he's got
He almost could have died himself, right?
Right. Right. We learn he's really fire scarred.
And he's got scars. Yeah.
Yes. Which that also was a very sweet part, you know, how she kind of had to like coax him gently to like allow her build the trust and be like, I want to see you.
Yeah.
Regardless of,
are you afraid that I'm going to like turn you away?
Shut you out. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I loved, that's why sometimes I feel like the more talk, less action, although there's definitely not less action, but like in those intimate moments, I love when they really learn each other like that, in the sense, you know, like that's something really special as far as like relationship building, when they have those moments and they're chatting and has insecurities. He's been through a lot. And he doesn't want to talk about that at first, and then slowly opens up to her, which just makes her fall for him even more, because the Hades she's known her whole life, her husband, well, she didn't even think he existed. Right. Well,
So they say it's a dead title. Like, I think everybody thinks that he did die. Well, not everybody, but like most of the Upper City thinks that he died along with his family,
which is what they've led everyone to believe as well. So what she's known, she's learning, has been all a lie, essentially. Right. And then, because she then sees, what's their names? The two.
Hermes, which another flip, because Hermes traditionally is a male character. Uh-huh. So we have girl Hermes, who's quite funny.
Yes.
She reminds me of like Alice from Twilight.
Yeah.
Like the one that kind of like flits in and is like, I'm going to be everybody's friend. And,
Just a little more
of that
sass.
Sense for me.
Pretty sassy. But Persephone puts in her place. And then.
Dionysus.
Yes. Yes.
So he's like the party king.
Right. And Persephone's like, I don't understand. Like, I see you guys back there. So, you know, I feel like I think that also contributes to her just overall. She just has a big wake up call, I think, there. She realizes she's been lied to her whole life. Hades is real. And that there are people in the Upper City who are very much aware and know about it. You know, and like go back and forth like them. So
and he isn't what he's made up to be.
Right.
And the people obviously. Yeah. So, I mean, he does play that role. So you would think that a lot of the people do, at least in his sort of performance room, he plays that role. So like AKA the Court of Nightmares kind of room. So the people that come from the Upper City to go there to like, you know, experience their fantasies, they're you know, act out,
which
devices,
she's even
whatever.
Like, wait, they're coming here, like
yeah,
you know, she's like, what the hell. What I mean?
So, you know, the more Eros we talk about there. This I'm getting such an ACOTAR, and you know, ACOTAR I guess also was based on this myth, so it makes sense, these but I'm seeing like Rhys in the Court of Nightmares is Hades in his performance red draped room, and Hades like walking down the street in the Lower City with Persephone is like Rhys walking down the street in Valaris, where he's like, he knows everybody, goes in the shops, he supports the businesses, everybody loves him and wants to protect him. It's so very similar, right?
So similar. And, which is probably,
you know, one
I'm
of my one of my favorite, you know what, that, so when he shows his scars, that's like Rhys revealing his wings,
you think?
Because he hides them. Right? No one gets to see Rhys with wings for a long time. And then he like, shows them to.
I mean, you would know better than me.
Shows them to Feyre.
Okay.
But like hides them at first. Right. Yeah. So.
Well, and Rhys also has his family's, you know. Okay. Let's compare. Yeah. Here, right. So Tamlin,
his family was killed.
Tamlin's family did to Rhys's family, you know.
Is
so,
like
yes.
Zeus did to.
Exactly. Yeah. Look at that.
Crazy. And you know what else? One of my favorite moments towards the end of this book is where they're in that like exhibition room.
Yeah.
And he goes, Hades goes down on his knees in front of her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want, you know, you're not just this, you're a goddess. And I want everyone to know that not only are you are mine, but I am yours.
Yes.
And the king of the underworld is kneeling in front of her, which is a huge statement. And remember, Rhys won't kneel for anybody. He even has like the mountain stars tattooed on his knees because like as a symbol that he will kneel for nothing other than his crown, except for Feyre.
Look at that. This is why we like this book.
Dang.
Well, a big part, clearly. There's so many similarities, honestly. And this is also kind of how I pictured Rhys's throne.
Yeah.
You know,
and actually image wise, they're not too different, too, except I can't see Rhys with a beard. And
no. Right. So Hades has longer hair.
Yeah.
With a beard. I kind of pictured, I mean, I'm thinking with the longer hair, maybe he could do a man bun. And the Hades in my head,
I saw one fan art with him in a man bun.
Yeah. I feel like I would love it. My husband hates man buns. And I'm like,
yeah. I mean, I get it, but there's
I said to him,
man,
I was like,
Cassian and his man bun. Ugh.
I know. I was like, listen, you are greatly missing out because the man bun is just like, whoo.
But especially you kind of have to have a beard. If you have a man bun, you have to have a beard.
Yeah. So that's what I was picturing when they described Hades. I was like, he's got long hair. I bet you when he's going down, he's putting his hair up in a man.
Oh, dang. I'm going to send you this artwork I saw. So it's like, it's Hades with man bun and then her wearing the Princess Leia kind of dress.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. And then there's another fan art that was actually commissioned by Katie Robert. Like, I think you got it if you were in her Patreon, like, or an early buyer of the book.
So cool.
And so it's how she envisioned them. And she freely admits that, like, her Hades basically looks like Keanu Reeves in the John Wick movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure you haven't seen them, but do you know
that? I haven't, but I know what he looks like. Although, the Keanu...
Like, suit, longer hair... Well-kept beard.
My preferred Keanu Reeves was the Keanu Reeves in Speed. So I have seen that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
I don't really like that longer-haired Keanu Reeves. But then you sent me that TikTok where someone said the fan casting for that was so spot on. We should link
really
to
good,
that,
right?
Too. It really
I
was.
Will.
Usually I'm like, I don't always see that. That one, though, I was like, I see it.
It was really good. So that one had Kit Harington, from Game of Thrones, as Hades. And then Persephone was, who was it? Amanda Seyfried, right?
Yes, totally can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And then I don't recall the others, but oh my gosh.
It was like Jeffrey Dean Morgan was Zeus, I think.
Yes.
That one's confusing to my feelings because I really like him. I don't want to like Zeus. You know what's funny about Zeus is when we were like first like going back and forth about this book and we were talking about the flip thing and whatever. And I was like, you know, we think of Zeus as a good guy. But actually, if you look at the mythology, he's done some bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you like, opened my eyes. That's where I was like, I feel like I got the very edited version of Greek mythology in school.
Yeah, like he is like deceiving and raping all over the place. Listen to this. So this is from one of my mythology books. The description of Zeus, I feel like it's so perfect for this Zeus. So it says, Zeus, the lord of the skies, was in charge of the whole clan and known as the father of the gods. His elevated status seemed to give him license to sleep with whomever or whatever he pleased.
Or whatever.
And he had a remarkable ability to turn himself into anything he desired in order to get his way. Once transforming into a bull to sleep with Europa, who then gave birth to Minos, king of Crete. As a result of such bedroom feats, an extraordinary number of other deities, demigods, and beasts claimed Zeus as their father. In fact, at the last count, a progeny of some 120 plus gods and heroes had been attributed to Zeus.
I mean, I do feel like everyone always can go back to Zeus. I mean, that's how you know him. You know him as like, you know.
Yeah.
But
and in like mythology, Hera was like his sister, right?
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there weren't that many of them, right? Like they were had the Kronos, what were they called? Like Zeus's dad, the Titans. So there was just you know, the Titans, and then they had kids, and then they paired up, and so there weren't that many of them.
Well,
everybody was all connected.
A little bit, what's the word? Incestual.
Yes, 100% incestual. Yeah, it's kind of gross, actually, if you look at all the mythology. I'm like, dang, I'm surprised they taught us any of this in school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it was very much not that, the version I got, because I don't recall.
Agreed.
That. So it's okay. It's fine. I still love it. I still loved Greek mythology, but this was just so fun. To start Googling, what was that story and blah, 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 and all the people coming into play and then, you know, all this. Mm-hmm. And it was, I just really enjoyed it. And
yeah. And some of them you wouldn't like, you really would have to look it up to see the mm-hmm. history. But then when you know the character and Hades has like his minion, his right hand man, Charon. So mm-hmm. Charon is like the guy who like escorts people to and from the underworld,
yes.
right? Which is like what he does here. He's like, do you need a ride back to the upper city?
Yeah.
I'll give you a ride.
Exactly, right?
He's the limo. And then there's Minthy. And we don't see a lot of Minthy, but Minthy is like one of Hades' mistresses. Mm-hmm. There's like a bit of a thing between her and Persephone later mm-hmm. in mythology. So she's there. We get little bits of like Psyche, Callisto, Eurydice, so her sisters. I know the next book is about Psyche, but the other ones aren't about her sisters, but maybe those ones are coming later. Actually, I know for sure one is coming later.
I tried to look at that. I tried to look and see. I'm definitely going to get the next one. I'll keep it up, but it might be one of those things where there's so many other books I have to read. I'm going to get the next one because I did really enjoy it. It was just such a fun, it was fun to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, this is just like such a fun twist. It's not just made up names and whatever, you know, and just like a different story. Like, it's just fun to see what you've learned about, you know, then just kind of like retold in a way.
It's like mythology inspiring like a mafia romance.
Basically, yeah.
Because Zeus is basically like a big mafia boss is what he feels like.
I know. That's basically what...
And there's 10, Katie Robert has 10 planned now in this series. And she actually has like all the couples planned out. So you can look and see who's coming.
On her website?
I saw it on TikTok, but it's probably on her website too. She's quite active on TikTok. She's a good follow. Yes. And every time I see her, she has a different color hair.
I love that. I have a friend like that too. It's fun.
She also has another series.
Like, oh,
no. I think I know what friend you mean. Mm-hmm. So she has another series too called Wicked Villains, and apparently it's set like in this same world, and Hades is even in those ones, but like a slightly different version of him. So that's, if you like this book, that would be another way to get further into this series. But so the next one, Electric Idol, is Eros and Psyche. And then the third one is like Achilles, Patroclus, and Helen of Troy. And then they're sort of like based around like a big tournament. And then the fourth one, is it the fourth one? No, the fourth one is Apollo and Cassandra. The fifth one, I believe, has like a polyamorous foresome in it.
I just saw that one.
I think that's the one. Yeah. So there, I have heard that they get spicier than this one. And I have heard that some people like them better as they go to. They get quite into the series. I feel a bit mixed sometimes about like how book talk, especially, I think it's a bit gentler over on Instagram, but on book talk, I feel like if something blows up like this book did like a year ago or whatever, then there's always a backlash. Like there's something like Colleen Hoover, you know, there's people who love her. But then there's this very, very vocal group that like actively dislikes the books.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I'm like, you know what? If people are reading and they're reading something that they like, that's sort of, you know, everybody's at a different level for like, you know, even comprehension, right? So you can read a book that's written at more like a high school literacy level, or you can read a book that's at like a post-grad literacy level in terms of like the vocabulary and the style of writing and that thing. And, you know, for me, I've said before that like a story, a good story, I can get past like the writing style sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand when I see people that are like slamming on other books, like it was just not good. Like the prose was bad or the writing was bad. I was like, if you don't like it, that's okay. Like you do you, that's fine with me. But like, why do you gotta like yuck all over somebody else's yum? Like if they like that book, who cares?
I also
just really don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's also why we don't like really rating books, right? Because totally. I mean, you and I both just recently read a book by an author who we love. And we were like, I don't know. This one was just kind of like a miss. But that doesn't mean I would never, ever like go and be like, this book sucks. You know what I mean? And then like,
yeah. And if you like this author, if you like this book, like, yeah, you're stupid.
I would never do that. I would just, again, I would just chat with you about it and be like, yeah, I don't know. You know what? I just didn't really feel this one. Like it you know, but yeah. That's all right. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go and attempt to read it. Or there's another author who, another one where I feel like, yes, it's either you love or you don't love. I've read a few of hers that just personally, like, I just don't think it's my style. But right. I would never, again, yuck on someone else's yum because many other people I know. And I always say that. I'm like, I think I'm probably just, you know, I'm like them in the minority there. You know, it's just not my style. And that's okay. That's totally fine. Because if you found a book that you like, then great. You know what I mean? Great. It doesn't mean.
Yeah.
That's the best part about it. There's so many.
Like it does not give me joy to tell someone else that what they like. Right. Sucks.
And we've also said too, I remember I used to have, I feel like not finishing a book. There've been a few books that I've read that I like didn't, I felt like I kind of had to push through because I just wanted to see like if it got any better. And I also think because we chat about it all the time, like it's probably just in me to push through. But I did have someone who was like, if it's just not for you, like do not finish it, DNR it, or do not DNF it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
DNR.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, I guess, kind of, you know,
that's nurse talk.
Yes, nurse talk. But, you know, like if you don't like it, you don't like it. It doesn't mean you don't have to finish it. So I actually did just have that happen. I'll tell you when we hang off by an author that you love. And I was like, I just don't think I can actually finish this book. That's okay.
Yeah. And it's that's okay, right? Like there's a million books. There's a million, like, well, they're practically a million different like genres and tropes and whatever. Yeah. Just find what works for you. And then like, you know, if we're talking about on here, we liked it. We're not going to devote like time and money to discussing a book that we didn't like. Right. So clearly by us having a podcast episode about it, we're,
we like it. Right.
We like it. Right. We would never, I would never think to do that, just to just like spend our valuable time and resources to publicize something we didn't like.
Right. Because if you don't, I wouldn't, again, that's also why I don't love rating them because, and why we don't on here, because I just don't, I would never want to like trash it because it's still someone's hard work at the end of the day. It's still something someone worked really hard on. And it, just because it didn't really like satisfy my need for a book at the time doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it wasn't for me, you know?
Yeah. So. And even if like I really liked a book, let's say like 50 Shades. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know that started as like Twilight fanfic.
Yes.
You know, like I had a hard time with the writing style in that book, but did I read them all? Yes. Will, are they gonna like, am I gonna reread them over and over again? No, not for me, but I enjoyed my read through of them the first time.
I did too.
You know? Yeah. So it's something like that kind of,
I enjoyed
that
story.
Kind of concept, right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed
the
story. Exactly. And even Twilight, like Twilight gets tons of hate for the writing style. And yet there's like a whole generation of us who love it.
If I went back and read it now, maybe I'd think differently. But also, who cares? I loved the story.
Like, right. You know, there you go. Yeah. Exactly what I mean. I saw this TikTok about, I feel like this, I've said TikTok more times in this episode than any other one.
You were on TikTok a lot today. You were sending me videos. I came back to my phone. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. She went down God's rabbit hole.
My kids stayed home. It was a snow day today.
Us too.
So we were just kind of hanging around. And I spent some TikTok time. But anyway, I saw this one where someone was talking about standardizing Goodreads ratings. Like, okay. So, you know, she's like, you know, if you guys are giving all these fours and fives, and I know you're lying, there's no way all these books are fours and fives. And she was like, five should mean this, four should mean this, three should mean this. Okay, whatever. You pick your own thing. Mm-hmm. But one of the comments someone said back was, yeah, and if you have ever rated a book by some author, you're automatically banned from Goodreads. Because in their view, like that author sucks. And so if you've ever given that author a decent review, then clearly you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, come on. Really? Like I actually had to respond in the comments to that.
Did
one.
You?
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. Because again, at the end of the day, it's still someone's hard work. They spent a lot of time on it. And
And someone likes it.
Exactly.
The only reason we're hearing about it, you know, especially like on social media when something blows up, we're hearing about it because a lot of people are buying and reading it.
Right.
Clearly, exactly. there's something there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I think the book talk, I mean, I think it can be good, but also, you know,
yeah,
has its.
I agree.
Like everything, you know, there's the good and
everything,
the
bad. But I do find it's a. It just feels like a gentler atmosphere over on Instagram.
Yeah. Although it depends. I mean, there's still some book accounts that I follow that I'm like, oh, that just felt a little harsh. I don't know.
Right.
You know. So. I don't know. I get. I just
it's definitely there, but I just think proportionately, I feel more hate when I'm over on.
Yeah. I think there's
more toxicity. Maybe that's the way I want to say it over on TikTok than there is on Instagram. But
yeah,
I do both because I still love talking about books or hearing what other people say about them.
Yeah, some of the I love the TikToks about, like, there's a lot of Akatar ones that are just like the meme TikToks that are just so funny.
Yeah.
And so I think, funny. Yeah, you sent me a few about these, which, I mean, we'll probably all over.
I think I'll post them. Yeah. Like maybe when this episode's ready for release, I'll post a bunch and I'll put them in the show notes here too.
Yeah. 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 No,
there's some really good ones.
It'll be really fun. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I actually think I finished this before you did. Right. I was like, what chapter are you on?
Yeah. You were checking out. It's a bit harder when I'm listening to an audiobook because I feel like I can't, if I speed it up, you can only speed it up so much before it starts sounding weird.
Yeah.
So I'm always faster with a print book than I am listening to an audiobook. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I can only speed it up by like 0.1 or 2, because then it sounds like, you know what I mean? So I can't.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big audio book person. Anyway, I will say I will do the audiobooks when, you know how with Audible you get like a credit a month or something like that?
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that something? Yeah. Okay. So I've built up some credits, right? Since I don't do Audible as all that often. I will use those credits to buy the books that I'm like if we have a long car ride somewhere, and let's say we had a long car ride and I was at like a really great part of this book and I was like, shit, I don't want to stop reading to drive. I'll buy it on Audible and then listen.
Earbuds.
Yeah, with earbuds, for sure. Yeah. I know. What book did I just do? Hold on. I bet if I look, it'll be there. And I was like, I was listening. And I was like, oh my God, I'd be so embarrassed if this like starts coming through my speaker. It was one really spicy one that we just, maybe it was Twisted, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe it was. Yeah, I think that might have been the last one. Because then when you, on Kindle, it's kind of nice because if you have it on Kindle, and then you get it on Audible, they'll like sync back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was like one scene and I was like, wow, I hope this stays. I think I was driving to the airport. I think that's what it was. I was driving to the airport. It was like 2 hours and I was like, Mama's putting her headphones in. I told my husband, I was like, I can't hear anything. So just let me know. You know? And I'm like listening to this like really hot scene.
I was walking to pick up my kids from school the other day and I was listening to this. And my friend was like waving at me across the street for like half a block. So finally I like noticed her and she's like, hi, I've been trying to get your attention. And I said, sorry. Oh, sorry, I'm listening to this audio. But she's like, yeah, I could tell. I was super like, just
you look
like
a little
focused.
Sweaty. No.
Well, I was walking fast so I could.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
That, but basically I was just very focused on what I was listening to.
these scenes were good. Oof.
They were good.
There was and frequent. They were.
And some of them were quite long.
Very long.
Pages.
And very frequent. They like couldn't get their hands off of each other. I loved it. Loved every second of it. So yeah, I'm going to.
And very like. Yeah. Like, and very like, again, contrary to sort of the impression if someone would just tell me about this book and like the basics of it, I would expect them to get into like crazy wild sex, like fast.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it is like there's a slow build up to like the type of stuff they're doing. And it's just gets really intimate really fast. Yes. Like one of the very first nights they like fall asleep together in bed without even doing anything. They just like cuddle and sleep together.
Yeah. Spooning.
You know, so it's very much not like a I don't think I would say it's a gratuitous sex book, you know?
Right.
Like, I feel like the scenes that they have, they sort of, each one of them is like a little bit of a deepening of the intimacy between them.
Yes.
Because essentially what we do have here is a couple just falling in love.
Right. Yeah, right. And it's not like they knew each other before. So it's just like a very quick falling.
Yeah.
Forced, I guess, right. So it's essentially like a forced proximity, right? I guess consensually forced proximity. You know what I mean? It's like they're with each other a lot.
Feels like she has to be there.
Right. Exactly. They're with each other a lot, you know, learning a lot about each other. And obviously they both find each other attractive and, you know, it goes from there. So
the heart wants it. The heart wants.
Yes, it does. But yeah, I really loved it. I loved the similarities and differences.
And
I'm excited. I'm going to get the next one and just keep going.
Yep.
Right.
You know, we've talked about these kinds of like either myth retellings or fairy tale retellings, right? Mm-hmm. Like even, you know, ACOTAR, so many of the books we love, they have these myths like woven through them. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you know any other books of that style that you think we would really like, definitely suggest them to us over on our Instagram.
Yeah,
absolutely. We'd love to try them.
Like I had gotten into the Never After series. That's like a dark, it's almost like I guess it can't really be Disney, but it's essentially like Disney movies. So, you know, Peter Pan, which by the way, did you see that today? The trailer?
No.
For Peter Pan and Wendy?
For what?
I
didn't see it.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to look for it later.
Oh my gosh. Go on like main Disney, like Disney Plus or whatever. It should be on there.
Okay.
Trailer looks so good. And Jude Law is playing Captain Hook.
I can see it.
So cool. So they're essentially like a retelling, a dark, it's cool. I think she calls them fractured fairy tales, right?
Is that? Oh yes, yes, yes.
The Never After series.
I remember.
Because they're very, like it's not like the same storyline. It's essentially like same names and some same things in the plot. Like, you know, I just read Twisted? Yeah. And which is like an Aladdin, and there's like this coveted lamp, you know, but like it's not
right.
Like, you know, she loves the guy that's poor and not, you know, and like essentially is being forced to marry, you know, the guy who I guess would be like Jafar, you know what I'm saying? So it's not, but it's just very different. But that, I mean,
very similar to this in that way, right? Like use the names, use elements of the story, but it is its own story as well.
So yeah, we would love to hear more.
We like it.
I think that kind of wraps this one up, right?
I think so.
We've got.
I'm glad it came to us. I'm glad.
Me too.
That we ended up reading it at the same time, and
I know. Me too.
Hopefully, you guys all liked it too.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, that's okay.
If you didn't, it's all right. It's just not for you. It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah.
We've got some more coming. We're going to continue our Throne of Glass series.
Yep.
We're going to record another one of those, I think, later this week.
Yeah.
And then we've got.
For what's coming.
Yeah. I'm super excited. But we do have a nice selection of books that we're going to kind of filter in between, just in case you have not read Throne of Glass and don't want to hear it. So
yeah, we're not going to make you go 8 episodes in a row all of Throne of Glass.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've got a couple nice rom-coms coming up.
So
we will reveal at a later date titles are.
Reveal at a later date. But yes, please, you guys can always send in book recommendations that you think we would love. I think by now you kind of know what we love, right? What our vibe is on here. So we would always, like someone just recommended The Words to me. That book was really good. So did you read that one?
It's no, but based on your feedback about it, it's now on my short TBR.
Really good. So I honestly love when we have listeners and followers be like, I think you would really love these books. Because honestly, they've never steered me wrong. You know, I had someone who was like, The Words kind of has like Drive vibes. Just read it and tell me what you think. And I was like, ooh, this is really good. Like I flew through it. So I honestly love when we get recommendations like that, because you guys are really
smart. Everyone that we get sent gets a little bookmark in our inbox, and then I make a list. We listen to every we read and pay attention to every single one of those. So
we really do. Yeah. So
keep them coming.
Please keep them coming. You can always leave us a message on our SpeakPipe, and then you guys know where to find us over on Instagram, right?
Yep. That's right. We actually have something fun coming to our Instagram that we're probably going to announce soon, just starting to shift things a little bit, like how we do certain things. So keep.
I was like, we do? Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's late. Where
you
I
know
am.
The thing. You know what we're talking
I do
about.
Know. I do know the thing. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So keep an eye out on that. In the meantime, you guys know where to find us on your podcast streaming devices. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening. See you later. Bye.
Next time.
Bye.